and I'm really excited about getting to speak to you for a few minutes this afternoon. We are going to be talking about the mud miracle. The mud miracle, and we're going to be talking about this very story here that you saw on the screen about when Jesus spat in the dirt and made a couple of mud cakes for this guy, and some incredible things happened. Hey, at this time, will you please help me welcome all of our campuses and our television audience as well? Will you just put your hands together for everyone tuning in to... Everybody tune in into Celebration Church today at all of our campuses and television and on the web and all that good stuff. We are so glad that you're with us, and we are going to look at a really cool miracle today in John chapter 9, and we're in a series called Miracles. We'll be concluding that series next week, and we've been taking a look at a few of the miracle works of Jesus where we've seen how God wants to perform miracles for everyday people just like you and I. And that, you know, a miracle, many times when we think about miracles or, you know, it's a miracle, you know, that can kind of be like this real mystic thing, or, you know, there's something weird associated with it, or it's only for super spiritual people. And but when you look at the Gospels and you look at the heart of God and you look at the life of Jesus, miracles are for everyday people just like you and I. And there's only one thing that you have to be a candidate for a miracle, and that's a problem. And so I believe that's a good thing for most of us, because I'm sure, like myself, that many of you have some problems that you would like God to take care of. Am I right? And so we've also been talking about that in each one of these miracle stories, we can kind of clue in on a main key or a principle that really activated the miracle for that person. And last week we took a look at the father whose son had an evil spirit. And when the father came to Jesus and he wasn't really trusting or putting a lot of positive expectation on the outcome, he asked God to help his unbelief. But what he did believe in, he believed in the character and nature of God. He believed that God loved him and that God wanted to help him. And that is the foundational thing that we all need to have. That is the, some things are impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. That is the all things are possible faith. When you come to God, you don't know how this thing's going to change, and you're trying to be as positive about it as you possibly can. But more importantly, you're coming to God and you're saying, God, I believe that you're a good God. God, I believe that you love me. Lord, I believe that you love the people involved in this situation. And God, I believe that you want to do something about it. That is the all things are possible to him who believes. When we put our faith in the character and nature of God, and then that expected outcome, that doctor's report, or that marriage being healed, or moving beyond your past, or whatever it is, that expected, positive expected outcome is kind of a byproduct from that foundational faith that God loves you, he's a good God, he wants to help you, and he is able to do that incredible work in your life. Can I have a good amen? So, let's take a look. We're going to look at another miracle key today in the book of John chapter 9. Great story, man. I'm going to unpack some things out of here. And God's going to do some great stuff. So here we go, John chapter 9. It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, it looks like that in Jesus' day, it's a lot like our day. When something's wrong with you or something's wrong with someone else, what do we want to do? We want to look for the first person that we can blame. Am I right? I mean, something's wrong with your life. You have a problem. And many times our society, we're always looking, whose fault is this? Who's to blame? That's why in our culture, you know, so many people fall into that victim mentality, that because this person did this to me or that person did this to me, or, you know, I brought these things on myself, but, you know, I'm kind of the product of my environment. We're always looking for someone to blame. Well, I've got good news for you. It doesn't matter if it was your fault, your parents' fault, somebody else's fault, you know what I'm saying, the dog's fault. It doesn't matter. When you come to God, it doesn't matter. Forget about blaming, because God wants to do something great in your life, no matter how you got that way. And this is what Jesus says here in verse 3. Jesus actually said, look, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He's just like a lot of us, man. We live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where many times we're dealt a bad hand. And you know, whether we were just dealt a bad hand, whether we drew a bad hand for ourselves, whether somebody did something to us, or none of those things matter when we come to God because of this. Jesus says, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So Jesus is saying, look, the blame here is not an issue. The bottom line is, this man has a problem, and there is a work of God that should be. Everybody say should be. This is key. We're going to come back to this. There's a work of God that should be revealed. See, in all of our lives, when we begin to tap into the purposes of God, I believe that God has hundreds, thousands, I mean, for the rest of your life, He has all of these incredible works, these incredible miracles, these incredible great things that He wants to do in our life. They are works that should be revealed in our lives, but just because they should be revealed doesn't mean they will be revealed. Because we have a part to play. We have to make that decision. Are we going to blame? Are we going to have a pity party? Are we just going to, you know, God can't do it? Well, I've just been struggling with this forever. Or this thing's just never going to work out. See, all those things. Or are we going to say, no, God, I have a problem, and I believe, or I have a challenge, or there's something wrong in this situation, or I need a miracle, and Lord, I believe that there is a work of God, an incredible supernatural work of God that should be revealed in my life. And I'm going to start pursuing that. Is anybody feeling me today? So look, Jesus goes on to say in verse 4, he says, look, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is yet day, for the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So here's what Jesus is saying. Look, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ. They're about to enter, and we have entered the dispensation of grace. The Bible says, speaking not of an actual literal year, but the time that we live in, the New Testament, the New Covenant, the dispensation of grace. God is with us, Emmanuel. We accept Jesus. God comes to live on the inside of us. And on the inside of us, we have the favor, we have the power of God, the goodness of God is extended to us. God relates to us on not according to the good things or bad things that we have done, but according to the work that Jesus did on the cross. Isn't that good news? That's why the gospel is called the good news. That's why the grace of God is available to everyone. That's why God loves everyone. Everyone's invited. Everyone is accepted. God has greatness destined for everyone's life. And all Jesus is saying is, look, while we're in this time of God's grace and favor, because the time is coming when God's going to wrap this whole thing up. And I think it's so important that we always have that eternal perspective in our lives. I think that puts our needs in the proper place. Look, no matter what happens, aren't you glad that if you've accepted Jesus Christ, that you are facing an incredible eternity? We always need to keep, that's what Jesus is bringing into the forefront here. We need to keep that picture of eternity. Look, one day Jesus is coming back. One day Jesus is going to wrap this whole thing up. One day, whether people like it or not, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. So let's do that now and know Jesus as Savior, so we don't have to do it later when we know Him as Judge. Okay. So Jesus is kind of painting this eternal perspective, but He's saying, look, man, as long as we're in this broken, fallen world and the dispensation of grace, and God is long-suffering with people and He wants people to be saved and He wants people to know His goodness, Jesus is saying, look, there are so many opportunities. He's basically saying, every time there is an opportunity, I want to come in and do a great work. So, in that perspective, I want you to think about your life. Think of all the opportunities that you've made in your life for God to come in and do something great. Think about your marriage. Think about your career. Just think about your whole life in general. If there's an opportunity, God wants to come in and do a miracle. So the incredible thing about this is, it's like, I don't know, I mean, if you're like me, I mean, I'm giving God opportunities all the time. Man, God, look at this mess I made. I mean, God, look at this incredible opportunity that I'm giving to you to do a miracle. I mean, God, I think only I could mess this up this bad. This is a great thing. Lord, look how I have blown it in this area of my life. Look at this. God, you can't resist this. This is just too much of an opportunity. See, Jesus is looking for opportunities. And so whether you have 10 opportunities, you have 100 opportunities, you have 1,000 opportunities, what Jesus is saying here is, look, you give me the opportunity. Now is the time. Now is the day where I want to come in and do something great. So think about your life and all the opportunities, every opportunity that God can come in and do an incredible miracle work, every area of your life that the works of God should be revealed. So here we go. Watch what happens next. Here's where the story gets fun. So anyway, you can imagine the disciples here. Let's kind of paint the picture of what's going on. You know, the disciples have made another bonehead comment about, you know, hey, look, this guy's blind. We've got it all figured out, Jesus. Whose fault was it? Who do we need to blame? Is it him? Is it parents? Is it someone else? You know, most, I don't know this, but there's a good chance that Peter was probably leading the charge here. You know, of bonehead comments where they missed it here. And so Jesus makes, hey, look, it's nobody's fault. There's a work of God that should be revealed. I'm the light of the world while it's yet day, while there's opportunity. I want to come in and do something incredible. So the disciples, they probably, all right, hey, here we go. Watch this, everybody. This is going to be cool. Jesus is going to come in, you know, like blind Bartimaeus, like several other blind people. You know, he's probably going to do like an eyes be opened. You know, it's going to be like real powerful. He's going to, you know, open the eyes, you know, rebuke the Pharisee, you know, whatever is going to go. They're all excited. And all of a sudden, they hear this. And I'm telling you what Peter, I bet you what Peter thought is, he's going to spit on me. Peter's like, I've made so many dumb comments. And sure enough, I've come up with this one about whose fault, who to blame, and who's sin. And Jesus had just finally had enough. And Jesus is going to spit on me. But thank goodness he didn't. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, when he had said these things, he spat. Everybody say spat. For some of you, that might be the only time in your life that you say spat. You know, we say spit, but spat. Spat. I think this needs to be, because Jesus did it in a positive light, I think that spat needs to be like a new trendy cool word, like fat, P-H-A-T. But instead of, you know, like that's fat, that's cool, like, man, that's spat. That's happening. I'm spat with it. It's spat. I'm down with it. Hey, Celebration Church sets the trends around here. We set the trends in Jacksonville. If spat is the new cool word, then spat is it. Jesus spat. He was a spatter. Another thing I was... You know, another thing I was thinking about, this is vindication for all you spitters out there. Do I have some spitters in the audience? Our campus is annexed. Go ahead, raise your... Now's the time to bask in the glory, baby. It's spitters and spatters revenge. I mean, this is it, man. Jesus, aren't you glad that he identified in all points? He's a high priest that understands our infirmities. He understands... Do I have any women spitters? Any women spitters? See, yeah, there, yes. So anyway, he said these things. So they're sitting around. You can imagine it's like, And everybody's like, whoa, man, is he spitting on me? This is different. This is a different deal. But then they breathe a sigh of relief. And here's why. He spat on the ground. He made clay with saliva. And he anointed, everybody say anointed. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. So he's bringing it up. But all of a sudden, the disciples see Jesus stoop down, start messing with the dirt. And look, it's a good thing when God gets involved with dirt. How many of you know that the Bible says that we, mankind, we were made from what? The dust of the ground. In the chapter right before this is the woman called in adultery. And remember, Jesus stooped down and he began to write something in the dirt. Man, you get God with dirt, and I'm telling you, good things are going to happen. You and I are a product of God and dirt getting together. Do you see? So Jesus comes down to the dirt here, and I bet all the disciples are like, okay, he's not spitting on us. All right, this is a good thing. And so Jesus begins to spit on the dirt, and he begins to make clay. Now, you know, I'm no saliva expert, but I'm telling you right now, to make clay out of dirt, you got to have more than a few drops of spit. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is no little poop, poop. This isn't, little, you know, look. This isn't a little sissy spit. I mean, Jesus is hacking a few up here, man. He's got to make clay. So he makes this clay. It's like mud. I mean, that's another thing. I got any mud people? Any mud people out there? Talk to the spitters. You got some mud people? You know, you're younger. You just like riding in the mud. You know, monster truck mud. Is that like not cool? I mean, I've never done that really, mud. So I'm from Louisiana. We like live in swamps, so it's like mud's everywhere. You know, we shower in mud. So. Not really, mud's not a special deal, but, you know, I see a few of you, you're going to play in the mud today. But he makes mud, so watch this. He spits. I mean, this is manly spitting going on here. He gets enough of saliva where he makes mud. He turns to this blind guy. Now, mind you, the blind guy is just... he's just an innocent bystander. he's just sitting there. He's caught up in this argument. People are blaming him, saying there's sin with him and his family and all this kind of stuff. He's just kind of experiencing this whole deal, even though he can't see him. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, he feels this. You know. And you're probably, you know, turns around. There's these two big mud cakes on his eyes. Made with this guy Jesus' spit. See, sometimes God works in ways that we don't understand. Sometimes God does things and they don't really make sense to everyone at the time. Once again, I'm sure what's going on in this blind man's head, probably as well as the disciples and the onlookers right there, they're like, man, why? I mean, isn't Jesus the Christ? I mean, can't Jesus just, you know, blind eyes open? I mean, can't he just, hey, this is an instantaneous thing. Let's just, okay, open the blind eyes, or be thou well, or arise, or a similar miracle that he's worked so many other times, where he heals the person on the spot, and it's instantaneous. See, and that's just like us. It's like, okay, we want God to do a miracle. We want God to do this incredible thing, but we want God to do it this way, and we want God to do it instantly, and we want it to be in this kind of box, and we want to be able to understand it and reason and rationalize it. And I'm telling you, many times God just doesn't work that way. Sometimes in whatever that strange way is in your life, guess what? It's going to be God and some spit and some mud. And you're not going to understand everything, and there's going to be a process involved. See, that's another thing. This guy's about to go through a process to receive His miracle. It's not just going to happen right away. It's not going to happen how you wanted it. There might be a little bit, you might be made a little bit uncomfortable. How many of you know this blind guy, he already had enough problems, and here comes two spit mud cakes. And he, as many problems as he's had, I mean, it's even worse. This is very uncomfortable. You know, maybe even a little bit humiliating. Remember what we talked about last week, that many times before the breakthrough that you get from God? Remember the young boy, he fell dead. Everybody's like, man, he's dead. God killed him. It was over only after he fell dead that then he arose. Many times it looks worse. It gets worse before it gets better. Great analogy of that happening again. Here's this guy. Two mud cakes on him. Everyone looks around. He's not seeing. What's going on here, God? We don't understand. You're not doing the miracle the way that we wanted it done, the way that we had it figured out, the way that, you know, it would make sense to us. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways. And many times what we look as uncomfortable or going through this or things getting worse, many times we don't realize that that is actually the way that God is going to bring about the miracle. And so look what happens. So he anoints the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And in verse 7, he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. So you can imagine maybe what this guy thinks. Okay, I'm spit on. I've got mud on me. And they're not even going to clean me up right here. Now Jesus telling me to go. He's telling me to wash myself in the pool of Siloam. But once again, and of course that pool means sent. But once again, I think here is that critical point. Tune in. Here is that point, like we've seen in some of these other stories, where there is some type. Here comes the response. In other words, there's something about this blind man right now. Something rises up in his heart, and he says, you know what? I believe Jesus cares about me. And I believe that Jesus wants to do something in my life. And this pool here, Siloam, just to let you know about this pool, some people say it was right outside Jerusalem. Some people say it was in Jerusalem. We really don't know how far the walk was to this pool, but it was a very well-known pool because it had the purest waters in the entire Jerusalem area. And all types of people would go there to drink and to wash. And the priest used it a lot, and it even had rumors like it was so pure, so healthy, it had like real health benefits, and even kind of this mystical thing that if you washed in it enough, you could be possibly healed from leprosy or blindness or any disease you've had. So I'm sure that this blind man had been to the pool of Siloam before, and that he had drank and washed in that pool before. And probably initially, he thinks, okay, the pool of Siloam, man, I've done this. I've been there. I've been there 100 times. I've washed. Nothing's ever happened. But this time, he's going under the anointing of God. And see, it is the anointing of God that makes all the difference. It's the anointing of God. You've tried this 1,000 times, but it's the anointing of God that somehow makes the next time different. Okay, Stovall, what does anointing mean? That's like one of these other weird Christian words. I saw this dude on TV say anointing, and he did all this crazy weird stuff, and it really freaked me out. Okay, first of all, anointing is a Bible word. All anointing means really, it is the enablement of God. It is the favor and power of God on your life so that you can fulfill the purposes that God has for your life. We are anointed for purpose. God gives you favor and power and ability to do things that you couldn't do for yourself so that you can fulfill the purpose that God has on your life. Can I have a good amen? So here's what happens. This guy, he is anointed. He comes into the favor and power of God to be who God's called him to be. But then watch. We're called. We're anointed. Remember what Jesus says? Many are called, few are chosen. Everyone's called to come into the goodness of God, into God's favor, into God's power. But much fewer people choose to walk in that, and here's why. Jesus calls us. He anoints the man. He gives him the power and the ability. Nothing special's happened yet. But here's the key. He says, now go and wash. What does the man do? He believes God, even though maybe he's been there several times before. He chooses to obey God. Jesus says, go and wash. The Bible says he went and washed. In other words, obedience. He obeyed God. And obedience to the word of God brings about the miracle works of God. Gustavo, that's good. Why don't you say that again? Okay, I will. Obedience to the word of God produces the miracle works of God. So for the first time, maybe this guy's walked to the pool of Siloam several times before, but guess what? This time, for the first time, he's walking there in obedience to the word of God. He's actually walking in the purposes of God for the first time. When you begin to walk in the purposes of God, that's where the anointing is. That's where the favor and power of God is available to you in your life, because you are anointed for purpose. You're anointed for purpose. You're given God's favor and God's power so you can fulfill His purpose for your life, not your own purpose. You're given God's favor and power so you can put God first in your life and be everything that He's called you to be, not put yourself first in your life and be what you want to be. And what you'll find out is when you put God first in your life, you really want to be who God wants you to be. And when you put God first in your life, he who humbles himself is exalted. You humble yourself before God. God takes you to places that you could never get on your own. So for the first, well, Stovall, I've tried this 100 times. My wife and I have been to counseling 100 times. The anointing of God makes a difference. It is the difference maker. The favor of God can take you further than anything else. The power of God. Here's where the difference. All things are, you know, it's impossible, man. All things are possible with God. So all of a sudden, for the first time, watch. Miracle hadn't happened yet. He's not seeing yet. In fact, he's more uncomfortable. He submits to the purposes of God. He's more uncomfortable even in his circumstances than he was before. He chooses to obey God, and all of a sudden, for the first time in his life, he begins to walk in the purposes of God. And nothing has happened yet, but guess what? At least he's on his way. Many times the works, remember going back, the works should be revealed. The incredible work that God, the miracle, the breakthrough that God, that should be revealed in your life. Many times it's a process. Look, you might not be there yet, but when you obey God and you tap into the purposes of God, at least you're on your way. At least you're heading to the breakthrough. At least you're heading towards what God has for your life. And too many times, we're like, we come into the purposes of God. We want God to do this. We want God to do it this way. We want God to do it on this timetable. Is anybody out there, like yesterday, you know, it's like, you know, yesterday's too late. When did you need this done? I need it done yesterday. And even that was too late. We live in a culture, man, we want quick fix, we want things fast. So many things now in our modern technology, we can fix ourselves. But listen, there's a process involved. And God doesn't work that way. God's ways are higher than our ways. And when God does a miracle work, it's really a miracle work. God just doesn't do a miracle on the outside, but He does a miracle on the inside. Man, He comes in and He comes into our life. And He comes in and He begins to work and He begins to reveal Himself. That's what revelation is. Revelation is God finally showing you something that you didn't know about it, but God knew about it all along. Work should be revealed. There's incredible things. God's got them planned. God knows all about them. But guess what? You don't have a clue. And you won't have a clue until you obey God and begin to walk
in His purposes. It might not happen like that, but man, at least you're on your way. And sooner or later, you're going to get to that pool of Siloam, and you're going to come back seen. And your testimony is going to be like this. I don't know. I was following God. I was just walking in the purposes of God. I don't understand the how, the what, and the why. In fact, if I was God, I would have just, you know, abort the whole mud spit, forget it, just do it, you know, right off the bat. But this is all I know. This is his testimony later. All I know is this. I was blind, but now I see. And I don't have any choice but to give the glory to God. Obedience to the Word of God leads to the miracle works of God. When we obey God, we begin to walk in the purposes of God that brings about the anointing, the favor, the power of God in our life that is leading us to a work that should be revealed. What area is God calling you to obey Him in? What area in your life do you know right now you're not obeying God? Usually obedience, like this man, it kind of involves two things. Many times obedience involves us, God sending us away from something. It involves us leaving something. For this guy, it was leaving where all the blame was and where all that stuff was going on. What is God calling you to leave? What is He sending you away from? Maybe you're single. You're going out with somebody that you know God doesn't want. You know God doesn't want you going out with that person. You're wondering why God's not moving in your life. There is a miracle, that a work of God that should be revealed, but it won't be revealed until you obey. What's God? Maybe you're married, and you know that God is if I could say it this way, He's sending you away from your rights and He's sending you into humbling yourself to your spouse and saying, I'm sorry, and really acting like you're sorry, even though you don't think that you were wrong. Is God sending you away from unforgiveness and sending you to forgiveness? Let's talk about sin or addictions. You know that there are things in your life that are hindering your relationship with God. It's a sin. It's a group of people that you know you need to separate yourself from. It's something that you're involved in that you know God is saying, go. You got to get out of that thing. It's destroying you. It's just going to destroy your family. See, there's a miracle. There's a work that should be revealed in your life, this incredible thing. But you're going to have to leave that. You're going to have to tap into the purposes of God. That's where the power is. That's where the favor is. That's where the miracle work is that will eventually be revealed. What area is God calling you to obey Him in? Whether it's leaving or going. It's usually two things. You're usually leaving something and going to something else. Getting more involved in church. Well, I'm believing God for this. You know, I really need this financial breakthrough or this, you know, is God, what about tithing? What about putting Him first? There is a great work God wants to do in your finances. But man, we've got to obey. Obedience to the Word of God produces the miracle works of God in our life. When you're walking in the power and favor of God, miracles are a byproduct. You want to know about this guy going over to the pool of Siloam? Guess where? If the pool was just going to be part, it was just part of the path. Remember the word Siloam, it means sent. Jesus sent him there. So watch, here's this path that goes by this pool. Guess what? It's already foreordained. If this guy obeys God, and just can see, here's your life. It's foreordained. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. You keep putting God first and following God. Guess what? It's going to be a miracle here. By the time he got to the pool, I mean, he washed, it was done. It was part of the deal. It was part of the package. It was a byproduct of obeying God. So here's what happens in your life. Look, be encouraged. Have some hope.
Man, the enemy wants to come in. He wants to bring condemnation. He wants to make you think you don't have any hope. He wants to make you think things are not going to change. He wants you to be just like that guy. Well, I did this, you know, and the clay's on my eyes and I'm not seeing yet. But you're on your way. Be encouraged. Know that God can do it. And if you're walking in the purposes of God, it's just a matter of time before you pass by the pool. And all of a sudden you get your sight. And in your life, you keep putting God first, following God no matter how difficult. Maybe it's uncomfortable, the challenges that you have. You keep following God. Boom. Here's a miracle. Boom. Steps of the righteous order by the Lord. Boom. Here's a miracle. Miracle works of God should be revealed in your life and will be revealed if you just walk in the purposes of God. Where is God calling you to obey Him? Being more faithful to church? I can't answer that question. Thank goodness for the Holy Spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. We all have areas to work on in that. Let God talk to your heart. There's a miracle right around the corner. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, just do your work today. Just speak to all of our hearts. I want to ask you this question.